Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of A Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled Getting Others to Accept Your Changes. And this is a very important topic because the biggest problem that we have in life is that we need to be true to ourselves and not live our lives according to what other people think we should live it. And the problem is that as children, our parents tell us what to do. And they kind of forget that as we become adults, they need to let go and let us take control of our lives. So if you're making changes in your life, you're going to meet with some resistance. Back in my teenage years, I discovered healthy eating, and that meant not eating some of the traditional meals in the household. It led to a bit of a tension, but over time, with good communication, we worked around the issue. Within everyone, there are two people, the person you are now and the person you could become. That depends on your actions. Choose wisely. It is a curious phenomenon that when we try to change our habits, simplify our clutter, or eat healthier, start exercising, other people in our lives don't instantly want to be changed in the same way, but as if they had their own mind. Horrible as that might sound, it's the reality we have to deal with as we have a family of friends, roommates, coworkers, etc., who often resist changes we make, or their possibly unhealthy habits stand in our way. You're trying to eat only whole foods, and yet you're only trying to eat whole foods, and yet your daughter eats Goldfish crackers and pizza and Oreos. And she doesn't seem to want to munch on asparagus instead. So what's a habit changer to do? Abandon all attempts to change? No. Force change on family members, tempting but not effective. The answer is that there is no simple answer. I'll share what has worked for me, but that won't work for everyone. When you're single and living alone, it's easy to make whatever changes you want to make. But if you're married, you have to make compromises. You live in the space that is common between the two of you, and it is negotiated space. When you add kids to your life, you now live in a space that is common between all of you, also a negotiated space. What works? Let's take a look at some strategies. Try one, try two, or try them all, and figure out what works in your negotiated space. Here's a common scenario. You've read about some interesting challenges or change someone else has made, or perhaps read a magazine article or book on the topic and have been giving it some thought and finally arrived at the decision to make the change, and then you spring it on your significant other or entire family. They somehow aren't as enthused as you'd like. That's because you have gone through an entire thinking process to arrive at a decision, and they are being asked to change, to come in only at the end. After the decision has been made, that's not fair to them because they haven't had the time to go through the same thinking process, to consider reasons, to find the motivation, to be included in the decision. I found the more effective method to get all people who will be affected in on the thinking process as early as possible. Don't talk to them about it when you're near the decision-making point. Talk to them about when you first hear or read about the idea. Talk about why it's appealing to you. Give their input. Ask whether they consider the kind of change. Talk about your motivation. include them every step of the way until the decision is made, and even after. What people don't like is being forced to change against their will. So never make people feel that way. Don't ask them to change. Ask them to help you change. Once you've gotten to the decision, say that their support is really important to you, and while they are welcome to join you, you'd love that. They don't have to change. Just help you make your change. Ask them to be your accountability buddy, someone to call on when you're having trouble, someone to report problems and success to. While not everyone will be instantly on board with your ideas for change, I found the best method of persuasion is being a good model for change. When I started exercising, most of my family wasn't doing it. I tried to convince people, but I wasn't as good at persuasion as I thought. When they saw me exercising, at first they thought I was a bit kooky. Then they saw the changes in me and how much I enjoyed it. And I would share how great it was, and over time it inspired some to think about it. That's what you can do. Inspire people to consider something that they wouldn't normally consider. Just by setting a good example. No one else will do yoga with you. That's okay. Keep doing it and share your experiences. Doing it in front of them as they watch TV. Try not to be annoying, though. If others won't get on board with your changes after a minimum amount of support, ask that they give you the space to make the change on your own without their help. This isn't a small thing. Sometimes, often people are threatened when someone is in their life makes changes, and they don't like the disruption of their routine of doing things with you. Eating junk food together, for example, you doing something on your own is a big change for them. Ask for the space to do it alone, and ask that they not criticize or otherwise make it hard on you. If they are restful, if they are resentful, then make it more difficult. But you'll have to make an effort to show that this is something that will make you happy, and you will do your best not to disrupt things from them. If that means you don't spend mornings together because you are out running, then try to create other time together, like in the evenings or on weekends. When you make changes on your own without the support of others, it's more difficult. You need to find other encouragement. I've joined running groups online, a smoking cessation group, and other similar groups. Facebook and other social networking tools can also be helpful in finding online support. Often, there are groups in your area where you can meet people in person who are going through the same changes. One of my more successful strategies is creating challenges for my family. They aren't required to do the challenges, of course, but sometimes people like the opportunity to rise to a challenge, and they like making changes with others. My wife and I have created eating challenges to do with each other. We call them lean-out challenges, usually after we go on a trip and gorge ourselves on unhealthy food. With the kids, I've challenged them to do push-ups, handstands, running, vegetarian experiments, daily drawing, and more. Challenges are fun if you do them together. It can be fun to do it as a competition or to offer rewards for people who complete the challenge. Eating changes can be especially difficult if your family isn't doing it with you, because they can be eating junk food right in front of your face as you try to munch on celery, tough stuff. Here are some notes from my experiences. If you do the cooking, cook food for the family and cook your meals separately. I often cook on our healthy food in bulk and eat the same food for days while the kids eat other things. For some reason, they're not big Kale and Kiana fan kids. Kids can change their taste buds, but slowly. They won't instantly like big green salads, but you can introduce vegetables slowly in soup and other dishes that might be used to dice carrots and kale can be added to chili and spaghetti, since if you cut them small enough and add them when you're cooking onions and garlic, kids will eat nearly anything if you add some baked fries to the dish. If the kids are going to eat something especially tempting, pizza, I'm trying to make myself scarce so I don't have temptations. It's too hard to avoid junk that I enjoy eating. If it's right in front of me, so I'll go for a run, I'll go to my room, I'll do some other work. Keep busy. We try to find restaurants that have healthy food that kids will like. When I went vegetarian, my wife and kids weren't vegetarian. I did get them to try some dishes, which they generally liked, and then would just eat my food separately from them. If I made my food especially delicious, it would be tempting for them to at least try. Kids will go to any restaurant if there's dessert at the end. Many people don't like the idea of vegan food, even if they've never tried it. Making delicious vegan cupcakes will often win them over, at least to try it. Truly amazing, supporting their changes. If you want others to support your changes, you should also support theirs. When my kids or wife express a desire to make some change, I do my best to help them achieve that. I share my experiences and what worked for me and how I overcame some obstacles. I share websites and books that help with the change and often will buy books to help them. I'll do a project with them or create a challenge we can do together. I run and work out with my wife and created a workout log to help her track her fitness. I share vegetarian recipes with my wife, who is now a vegan, and with my daughter, who decided to try veganism. There are more possibilities, but these are a few examples. When they see you supporting them, they now have a model for how to act when you want to make changes in the future. If not, an overnight change that you'll see in your family, but slow, gradual, long-term changes. Play the long game when it comes to changing the culture of a family. The best way to make changes yourself is to help others. That means supporting them when they want to make changes, sharing the changes you've made, and teaching them what you've learned. Showing someone how to do something cool after you've learned how to do it. You are teaching by making changes and sharing those changes with your family. They might not care about learning at first, but they will over time. And when you teach, you learn more and more, as I am now sharing with you. And what I want to do is remind you that what we're doing is talking about getting others to accept your changes. And you know, just like the article I read where he was talking about things that you can do to get other people to help in making the changes and accepting the changes, it really just depends on your family, because you will find that there are families out there that that don't like to change and refuse to accept the changes that you are making for the better for yourself. And what I have found is often you might just have to disassociate yourself with these people because they are rigid, and a lot of what it is they like the control and the abuse that they are able to interact with you. So what happens is, guess what? If you are trying to make good changes in your life, to learn to get along with people, to learn to do the things that you truly think you need to do, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to find that what's going to really happen is you're going to get a family that there's a lot of animosity. And when that animosity occurs, guess what? It will create a lot of problems for you in life. But you know what? Sometimes that's why I tell people, if you come from a dysfunctional family where other members of your family are unwilling to change themselves or unwilling to accept the changes they see in you, then sometimes you may have to get away from that. Because one thing that makes a family unit work is because they all expect each other to act a certain way. And then what happens is if one person in that family changes and the other members of the family are unwilling to change, then it's going to cause conflict. And just like this article was talking about, for you to be successful in making the changes, you need to be around people who are going to encourage you and accept you. And if you don't find it within your family, look for it through support systems. Today you can go to online groups in Facebook or even LinkedIn where you can go on there and you can post things and you can get support for what you believe in. But there are times when you have to be adaptable and you have to understand that what's happening is that there are people out there who really just don't understand or are so rigid in their thinking that in so many ways they can't change. And if they can't change, then you may have to get rid of them out of your life. Because if you want to be successful, you need to be around people who are successful. If you want to fail, then guess what? You can always find people who can bring you down. That's never something that you will find is not out there. The fact of the matter is that we all need to make changes in our lives, whether it's to eat healthier, whether it's to exercise, or even just sometimes in the job we do. Because if you stay in a job that you really don't like, then guess what? It's going to create resentment, and it's only going to build up within you. You know, the people who are in jobs that they really love, guess what happens? They really enjoy what they're doing, and they're able to accept the things that they do, and they live a healthier life. They enjoy their lives. They're doing something that, for them, they truly enjoy doing. But if you don't understand where you're coming from or what's happening in your life, then guess what? You will let other people control you. So look at it this way. How are you going to take back the control of your life and put yourself where you truly, truly want to be? Because you know what? If you are able to do that, you will live a happy and healthier life in any given situation. So let's go back and let's look at some of the things that you can do. Okay, let me just say that there is no simple answer. And, you know, when you're single, it's easy for you to adapt to make the changes in your life. If you're a young child who's decided you want to make changes, if your parents are flexible and supportive from the get-go, that they will encourage you to do the things you truly want to do. But if they're not inflexible, if they're very inflexible, then guess what? You're going to have to disassociate with them, because if you want to be successful, you have to be around people who are supportive. If they aren't, then guess what? And let me go back and tell you a story. I grew up with a disability at a time when society did not accept its disability community. Therefore, as a young child, I was always bombarded with, you're helpless, you're worthless, you can't live on your own, you can't think for yourself, you can't hold a job. As I got older, and as the laws began to change, then a lot of what happened was I had to decide whether or not I wanted a better life for myself or whether I was going to accept what my parents and society was telling me. And you know what? Because I didn't want to accept that I was helpless and I couldn't do for myself and I couldn't live on my own, I literally had to disassociate from my family because my mother was never going to let go of me and let me live independently. If nothing else, all she ever did was criticize and tell me how I couldn't manage money. And I could, you know, you manage money based on what you have coming in. But if you lose that source of income and you have not lived on your own long enough to build up a nest egg, then it's very difficult because the problem that we're seeing now of why there's so much debt in this country is that parents don't always teach their children how to manage money and how to not live above their means. I remember I knew someone that her parents held, both of them held two jobs. Both of them were principals in the school system, but they also held two jobs. And then what they would do is because they wanted to go to the Hamptons on the weekends, they often went where people who lived that had more money than they did. So guess what? The children learned to live above their means. So that and the difference was back when they were children, times were different. You didn't have what you have today. In fact, you didn't have the inflation that you have. You didn't have the times. It's the same reason that even when you're looking at the television, at soap operas, there's such a change going on in that medium. Because back in the 80s, in their heyday, they didn't have the competition because you didn't have cable TV. You didn't have 100 channels to choose from. So guess what? And not only that, the writers knew how to write stories where it was all character development and not plot points. So guess what? You were able to watch something and get into it and really follow those characters through their life. Today is more plot points, and you're not getting the kind of stories. Plus, because a lot of the folks are beginning to migrate over to the internet, that what's happening is they're gearing the storylines to the younger people, the 30-year-olds and below, because they are more likely to follow the show when it goes on the internet because they feel comfortable using a computer and using the internet, whereas their parents and their grandparents did never had access to the technology, never understood how to use it, and therefore the quality of the programming is going down. And then what happens is if someone leaves a couple, and you got certain people that are so into that couple, that without them doing any backstory and development to create a situation where the person who stays moves into a new relationship, then guess what? There's going to be a lot of backlash. So it's understanding that all of these things that are going on is talking about change. Change happens daily. No life stays stagnant. So we all have to learn to accept changes in our lives. So think about all of those things. Think about the things that you're doing that can truly help you grow as an individual and help you make the changes necessary to live a better quality of life. And, you know, if you want to live a long life, what happens is, let's go back. We were talking earlier about changing eating habits. And, you know, children have bad eating habits partly because of the parents, but also because of what they're doing with their friends. And also, get a load of this. If your child is thin and you want to put weight on them, what do? You tend to start giving them ice cream and banana splits, and they get used to that. And then guess what? When they reach their adulthood and they're no longer as active and they don't know how to change their eating habits, then guess what? They start gaining weight and they start fluctuating. So remember, often we have to teach our children to have good eating habits from the time they're children, because if they do, then guess what? They will be able to eat healthy. And, you know, nothing's wrong with saying that you can't have ice cream or you can't have cake. The idea is to realize that it should be a treat or a reward for certain things, whereas so that you learn that it's not something that you eat every night. It's not something that you have on a weekly basis. You know what? That's just perpetuating the bad eating habit. So let's look at some things that you can do that can make the changes in your life. For one, let's say you can get around people who are successful at changing their habits. Learn from them what they did to help live a better quality of life. And, you know, there are companies out there that are offering better types of foods that weren't available 25, 30 years ago. That what's happened is if you understand that you have people that have exercised most of their lives, but they don't always have the best eating habits, then when they don't exercise, guess what? All that weight gain comes back on because they're not as active. Then all of a sudden, they have to learn how to change eating habits. And I remember as a child that I have a certain vitamin deficiency that what happens is it causes chancrosis. So I have to be aware that certain foods that have an acid to it, I can't eat. I almost had to remind my mother, no, I can't eat that. That has to be taken out or whatever, or I had to put it on the side. I had to learn for myself. I had to make those changes on my own. And I also found that when I had to make those changes, that in the home it was not accepted, because it was all about, you know, that for my mother it was the staples of what she cooked every night was hamburger, mashed potatoes, and string beans. What is healthy about any of those three things? The string beans were healthy. The mashed potatoes had starch. The meat was ground meat, and it's pretty fatty. So guess what? As a child, my body was structured so that I tended to be heavier. And then I found that as I got older, there were certain things that my body just wouldn't absorb anymore. I had to make the changes on my own. And luckily for me, I've lived on my own. I've never lived with anyone, so I was able to make those changes. But you possibly will need a support system, even a mentor. And let me explain to you that what I do is I'm a career and personal development strategy coach. And what that means is that I can help you put together a plan and a strategy on it. You can make the changes in your personal life so that you can become the person that you truly want to be, whether it is in your personal life or whether it is in the workplace. And there are changes going on even in the workplace. For instance, it's more and more moving to working in the home. So remember, if you are beginning to work in the home, you have to have people accept you and accept the changes that you're making, and also understand that when you're working, you have to close that door, because that is not a time for them to interrupt you. And I want to remind you, you can go to my website, and that website is thenumberonepersonalcareercoach.com, and you can sign up for both individual and group coaching.